Thank you for listening to this podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. If you like what you hear, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast feed of choice, and help us to keep creating and improving our content. Thank you.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
Starting every show as if it's our last, we are the Suicide Squad of the podcasting world. I'm Harley Quinn, and joining me, as always, is the Joker. Oh my god, that's awful. I'm going with it. I'm really struggling with this intro this time around. I'm Will. How are you, John?
I'm good, Will. Hi, everyone.
We're going to start this show with a gripe before we forget it, because we started discussing it before we were recording, and I really think we should bring it up. You just mentioned something to me, John. What was that?
That Harley Quinn has received Harley Quinn's bat as a present.
Yeah, let's fill in some of the details for someone who doesn't know. Harley Quinn obviously is going to star, or seems to be, you know, quite a big character in the forthcoming Suicide Squad movie. Obviously a big DC Universe character, the love interest of the Joker, if you will. But also, writer, director, and generally bad review receiver these days, Kevin Smith, named his daughter Harley Quinn. Nothing particularly wrong with that. He's a big Batman fan. He's a nerd. So some people name their kids after comic book characters, John, don't they, John?
That's right, yes. So what? Yes.
John's son is called Wolverine. almost. And, Harley Quinn, Kevin Smith's daughter, received the actual Harley Quinn baseball bat, as seen in the previews and trailers for the film, from Harley Quinn in the movie. And we're both a little bit peeved by this, aren't we?
I don't think she deserves it.
She doesn't deserve it. Yeah, quite right. Smith says that he got given it as a gift for presenting some preview show or something or other, something to do with
that show that previewed off The Flash, the Tomorrow Thing, and Wonder Woman, and there's a whole evening on it, wasn't there?
There is indeed, and he was a presenter on that, and as a gift he got given the actual bat from the film, and of course, I don't begrudge him having received it, then giving it to his daughter. It makes perfect sense. The picture on Instagram of his kid bawling her eyes out, I mean, I could do without that in my life. But I don't know why. I feel annoyed by this news. and I shouldn't, really, because she's a teenage girl receiving a really cool gift, and she's over the moon, and it's a perfectly apt gift. But normal people don't really have the opportunity to receive things like this. And it just bugs me a little bit that, you know, somebody in that position gets these wonderful things, and regular people get to pay and watch the movie.
Where does he get those wonderful toys? Yeah.
Well, quite. I mean, yeah, I like Kevin Smith. I listen to a few of his podcasts, and I enjoy, you know, the content that he puts out. Not so much the films these days, I'll be honest. I haven't bothered watching Tusk. I should get around to it. And Yoga Hoses just sounds...
Oh, God, it sounds awful.
All kinds of bad, yeah. But... I'm not even, you know, he's recently finished the pilot of a TV show, as I put on the unheardnerd.com. Mm-hmm. Hollyweed, he's doing a pilot, and it's basically Clerks meets Chasing Amy in a weed dispensary in Hollywood. And the premise, I think, of the pilot show is that there's a cake shop or a bakery across the road, and they're filming a reality show in there, and outside of the weed store they've got this massive inflatable wobbly, you know, guy, you know, one of those inflatable wobbly blokes with weeds, buy weed all over it or something like that. And the woman in the cake shop is miffed that this is happening. They're trying to film, it's on camera, and there's tension between the two shops. So yeah, it sounds quite interesting, but, you know, it's Kevin Smith, like, really going with what he knows. He's famous as a stoner these days. You know, wakes and bakes, as he quite proudly puts it. and he lives in Hollywood, so you know, it's a bit of a easy one for him, I think. But the movies, oh my God, I wish he would just like try and regain some integrity now, rather than just making films based off of ideas he has on a podcast while stoned. It's not working.
He really seems to be making films for, well, himself and like an elite core of diehard fans that watch whatever he does.
And I kind of get that. You know, he has the fan base to support this, you know, way of working. But, you know, for me as a long-time fan, I mean, I've been a fan since Clerks came out. I heard about Clerks before it was in cinemas. Really from day one, I was absolutely intrigued by this film. You couldn't wait to see Clerks. I have a postcard still in my bag, as I've mentioned in a previous podcast, that one day I'll get him to sign. In fact, he favorited the tweet I put of that. I posted a photo of it.
Oh, yeah.
And said, one day I'll get Kevin Smith to sign that, because I've had this a long time. And he actually favorited that tweet, which was nice.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, like I said, I like the guy, and I'm really pleased to see that he's lost a lot of weight and he's being healthy. But his filmmaking has just gone way, way downhill. But we got off track. The bat. Yeah. yeah, it irks me a little bit. It does. Anyway, that's that out of the way. Probably should introduce the show. Welcome. You're listening to Betamax and Laserdisc, the movie and TV podcast from theunheardnerd.com. As already mentioned, I'm Will, and with me as always is John. And we should probably start where we usually start and say, what have you watched since the last time we recorded?
Oh, good one.
I ask this question every time, John. It's like, it's not a surprise anymore.
I know. Well, I get to a point now. I don't watch. I watched Spectre the other night.
Oh, right, the James Bond
film. Yes.
Interesting. Not received a home release yet.
Oh, edit that out.
yeah, it was a very late showing at the cinema.
yeah.
How was it? I'm not a big Bond fan.
I'm not really a Bond fan, but they're sort of, you know, they're good action in them and stuff. And I don't know, it's just a bit meh.
Bit meh.
Yeah, a bit meh.
I felt
Skyfall is still, well, which I think, for me, it's between Casino Royale and Skyfall. I think they're the two best Daniel Craig ones so far.
Mm. I've watched Skyfall. Have I watched Skyfall? I don't know. yeah, like I said, I'm really, really not much of a fan of the James Bond films. I don't know, I just couldn't be bothered. My wife wanted to go and watch Spectre, but I just couldn't be bothered to go. I don't think I've been to the cinema since we last spoke. Obviously, okay. the January show, which was very Star Wars heavy.
Oh, yes.
But I have watched a few films, of which I'm struggling to remember what.
Did I say I watched The Walk? Did I mention that last time?
No, I don't think so.
Can't remember the guy's name now. Oh, I forgot his name, the guy who's in it. He's a good actor, I like him as well. It's a retelling of the story of the French high wire act who put a wire between the Twin Towers in the 70s and walked across early one morning.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's him, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think for most people it would be interesting. The problem is there's a documentary called Man on a Wire, which tells the story from the man himself. And once you see that documentary, watching, you know, a dramatization of it that lasts almost 2 hours, I don't know. I was just like, nah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just think the documentary is more interesting than watching a 2-hour dramatization of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. It looks interesting. I would like to watch it. I would give it a go, definitely. I have thought of a film I've watched. It wasn't actually since the last time we recorded, but beforehand. It's a film that I enjoyed and I thought I would mention on this show. It's Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, however the fuck you say his last name.
Yeah,
actually, a really fascinating and weird, twisted film about a guy who is sort of not really... He's not really in work. He sort of moves from job to job, not really managed to apply himself to anything, and sort of stumbles across an accident one night, and he spots that there are, you know, teams of press, not really press, but photographers and video makers, filmmakers, and they're filming all the gory details from these accidents, like road accidents, crime, events of crime, and he realizes that, you know, it's something that he could do. He's a bit of an insomniac, barely sleep during the day, and so he buys a few bits of camera, a small camera, and he goes out and he starts filming, you know, accidents or crime scenes or things that he can then sell on to the press, ready for their morning broadcasts. And, you know, obviously the more extreme, the better. Yeah, the better he gets paid. Mm. The more the, you know, the companies want the footage that he's got. And it gets really dark and competitive. And you know, he buys more equipment. He recruits someone to drive along with him, so a driver, so that he can get straight out of the car, get into the action. Someone can move the car. Really, really fascinating film. Dark, but very, very good. I really enjoyed that one. So I definitely recommend Nightcrawlers.
Ah, that's on my sort of interesting to watch list. Might have to push it up a bit higher now.
Yeah, definitely do that. It was on my, I think, I don't think it was Love Film. I think it was, yeah, Amazon or something. And really worth a look. I really can't think what else we've watched. I know we've watched a few films. I think we've been watching sort of, I watched Zombieland. Have you seen? All right. Have you seen Zombieland?
No, I tend to steer clear of zombie stuff. It doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, I'm not a biggest zombie fan, hence the reason I'm still on season 3 of The Walking Dead. I thought I'd give it a go. It's a recommendation from somebody at work, actually. And it's all right. It passes the time. It's a bit of fun. You can't take it too seriously. Again, worth a watch, you know, for a little while. What I am thinking of doing, though, John...
Yes.
Is I'm thinking of doing a movie marathon.
Okay.
Now, often movie marathons are, you know, watching all the Star Trek films or all the Star Wars films, or, you know, keeping it with a theme, or all the Shia LaBeouf films, if you're Shia LaBeouf. but what I'm thinking of doing is picking a different film for each letter of the alphabet.
Okay.
Starting with A, B, C, D. You know how the alphabet goes.
You're
familiar with the concept.
Yes.
And over the course of the next year, trying to complete one film for every letter in the alphabet. And then, yeah, writing a review, basically, keeping it an ongoing thing on the website.
Interesting.
And, so I don't know how easy that's going to be to commit to, because my movie watching time is limited as it is. And usually when I'm watching movies, it's something I'm watching with my wife.
Yeah.
And generally she's not going to be that interested in watching, you know, sci-fi or you know, the crap that I like that would fit in with the A to Z of, you know, science fiction or whatever I choose to do. But I thought it was an interesting idea. So if any of our listeners have ideas of what to watch... specifically for the awkward letters, yeah, the Y, the Z, the X, yeah. I mean, there are a few. Just drop us a line, hit us up on Twitter. It's at the Unheard Nerd for me, and it's at UK Film Nerd for John. Hit us up on the email. It's theunheardnerd@gmail.com or facebook.com/theunheardnerd. And just let us know what films you think I should watch on this marathon. I am going to try and do it sequentially. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on. I'm not going to mix it up. This is a challenge I think I'm going to set myself. And I've got a few contenders for A. But perhaps people can let me know what they think.
I'm doing that already. I'm already mentally going through my collection.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Work out an alphabet already.
I mean, obvious ones are Alien.
Yeah, we've got all four to choose from there, haven't we?
Indeed.
Actually, they could have Alien versus Predator. There's two of those as well. So that's six in total.
I do have an Alien versus Predator film recorded that I haven't watched yet. So that could fit in. I mean, there's the Avengers films.
Yeah.
Avengers Assemble here in the UK.
Ant-Man,
yeah, which I actually watched not that long ago for the first time.
Quick thoughts?
I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. You know, I was very sceptical going in. The trailers did little to whet my appetite. Hence the reason I didn't rush out to the cinema to see it. I waited for the Blu-ray release. But once I got it, I watched it and I actually really enjoyed it. And I'm thinking of giving it a second watch fairly soon.
Cool.
Yeah, so I did enjoy that. So yeah, I mean, I've got this wonderful book that we were sent, or I was sent. Sorry, yeah, we don't live together, good people. The Sci-Fi Chronicles, which, you know, charts basically the history of science fiction from the beginning all the way up to like a year or two ago, and it's everything, almost everything in there. So I think that will be a good companion for this journey in terms of picking out films that maybe I haven't seen before, classics, or, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to keep it science fiction. Attack on Titan was another one that came up for A, which I haven't watched yet. I started watching the first 5 minutes just to see what it was like. That's something that I'm going to give a look to. But thoughts, please, people who listen to this podcast, of which I'm assured there are more than five.
Cool.
Yeah, let me know your thoughts, what I should be watching. And I'll take that into consideration, and I'll keep you updated on the podcast, I think, which would be a nice way of doing it. Yeah, there we go. Should we start with some of what you've printed out, John? Printed on actual paper. You've got notes for this show.
They're almost script-like. And looking at them, I think they might be better off just... Oh, God, blimey. Yeah, okay.
Oh, no. Lack of confidence in the notes.
Lack of confidence. Oh, no, it's all going, it's all falling apart.
No, please. Come on. Pull it together.
Okay, there's been a lot of talk of Thor Ragnarok recently.
Yes.
It's been written and it's going to be... I can't say his name. This is ridiculous. The writer-director, sorry for the pronunciation, is a guy called Taika Waititi?
Yeah, he's...
Waititi, yeah.
He's definitely going to be sending us hate emails now.
I'm sorry, we don't hate you. Until we see the first trailer, then we make our judgment. Yeah, so they're going to start work... the script's already there for Thor Ragnarok. He says the script's complete, but he thinks he needs to punch a few more jokes in there because it's a very dark script. Tom Hiddleston's confirmed to return as Loki, and there are very strong rumours that Cate Blanchett is going to be playing the main villain, a character called Hela.
Ah, okay.
Speaking of Loki, he said at the moment everyone's trying to figure it out, like, what's he going to do? Everyone loves that character. And they said, is Blanchett in or not? And he goes, yeah, look, it's so early. I'm not sure exactly what the extent of it is, but it's looking good, which would make me very happy. They sort of pushed him a bit harder and he said, yeah, the rumour, here's the thing. I can't say anything. I've probably said way too much, which is sounds a bit of a confirmation almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they asked him, what is Ragnarok? And he's like, well, nobody knows what Ragnarok is. I started reading about the actual Norse Ragnarok and that's even more insane than the comics. Crazy, but that's what I'm really going to really concentrate on, really make an effort to change the entire thing. Apparently Ragnarok is the Norse legend of the apocalypse, I think.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the story at all.
No, I mean, when Marvel announced the title, I think that's the first time I heard the word Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I had seen it described to me, it's going to be a bit of a road trip movie over the Nine Realms.
Okay.
And the other main character who'll be making this trip with Thor is the Hulk.
So I hear, yeah, interesting.
And they speak, Yahoo spoke to Mark Ruffalo recently. He still really would like to do a solo Hulk movie, but unfortunately there's a legal issue where Universal own the rights for a solo Hulk movie.
Ah.
So he can only appear with other characters in Marvel films. He doesn't get his own movie. But he did quote, say, we've worked a really interesting arc into Thor 3, Avengers 3 and 4 for Banner that I think will, when it's all added up, will feel like a Hulk movie, a standalone movie.
Oh, wow. And then like some fan will edit that together.
Oh, I expect so. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that Universal still owned the rights to a solo movie.
Yeah, because they produced the first two, wasn't it? They did the...
Ed Norton and
what's his name? Eric, I call him Eric Banana. I can't. Eric, is it Eric Banner? No.
I don't know.
I can't remember his name now. Typical.
Doesn't matter. It's not. Nobody watched it anyway. It's fine. they were not good adaptations, and you kind of feel like Marvel would do it right at this point. I take a keen interest in the licensing, of the Marvel franchises, and I like to keep up to date with who owns what. Mostly to make sure that they never make another Silver Surfer movie, but that's bound to happen at some point. I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that. That's interesting. It kind of leads me, and I'm sorry, we're going off piece again, but kind of leads me off onto Deadpool, which obviously is a a Marvel character, but the rights sit with 20th Century Fox because he's part of the X-Men universe and they own the rights to the X-Men. I am going to go out on a limb now, having shown all kinds of doubt, and say this is the first Marvel superhero movie that Fox are going to get right.
It does feel like it, doesn't it?
Really does. I'm so excited. It's out here in the UK in 8 days, I think.
February 12th, isn't it?
Is it 12th? I thought it was the 10th.
Close enough. Carry on.
it's either the 10th or the 12th. We shall not split hairs. I will be going to see it on the week, the following week. So the week commencing, I don't know, what is it? 13th? Monday the 13th? No. What day is it? Sunday is the 13th. No, Saturday is the 13th.
12th is a Friday.
12th is a Friday. Okay, so in the UK, films usually come out on a Thursday, don't they?
I think it depends how greedy the distributor is.
Okay, all right.
But sometimes they put on a Wednesday, don't they? I think it's just to make their, when they get the figures, they get figures there for them Wednesday to Sunday. So on Monday morning, they can go, look how much money we made.
Well, a big part of it was the Orange Wednesdays, which was something that happened in the UK for a long, long time, where Orange, part of, I don't know what telephone network they were part of, but a mobile phone network provider in the UK. And they had a deal where if you were an Orange customer, you could send a text, receive a code or a message, and you got 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Wednesday. That ended, I think, last year or the year before, and now we have Meerkat Movies, which is every Monday and Tuesday, I think. But to cash in on the increased volume of customers visiting the cinema on Wednesdays, they started releasing films in the UK earlier than the traditional Friday, when people usually go to the cinema Friday, Saturday, Sunday, weekends, the biggest days usually. But Wednesdays became so popular that they started bringing forward the releases in the UK to Wednesday. Interesting fact. And so now, you know, so now movies still sort of come out sometimes on a Wednesday for previews, Thursdays for previews, and then officially on a Friday. But yeah, so anyway, whichever day Deadpool comes out, I think the following week I'm going to go and I'm going to go and see that.
Awesome.
Yeah, because my wife, I believe, will be away in Cornwall with the children.
Ah, I see.
And that seems like a perfect excuse for me to go and watch something she would never want to see in a million years. So I'll report back on that one.
Cool, which leads me nicely into the little Deadpool snippets I have.
Oh, go on.
As we all know, it's selling itself as being very, very violent.
Yes,
which in fact has led it to, which has led it to being banned in China. It's too violent for China.
So weak-minded.
but apparently, to
Hang on, sorry. Did we do the Chinese racism in the last show? Maybe I should pull back on that one and issue a formal apology to seriously, China. I'm ever so sorry about my noodles in the cinema remark in the last show. I meant no harm by it, and I humbly beg your forgiveness. I do apologise. Carry on, John.
Okay, the film's been rated R in America, and apparently to get that rating, they had to trim some of the more violent stuff out. But the co-star, TJ Miller, was in an event in London, and he said, so the idea that when you see the full director's cut of it, that's going to be even more raw. That's pretty heavy duty.
Yeah.
So he's saying it's going to be one of those too violent for cinema jobs on DVD and Blu-ray, I expect, when it's released later in the year.
I mean, often we frown upon this kind of idea because often it's the reason is because they've released a film as like a 12 in a cinema, with a really bad cut to get the maximum number of people to go and see the film, and then when it comes out on DVD, it's the harder director's cut. Now this Deadpool in the UK is now it's going to be a 15 certificate.
It's
confirmed. So you know, to bring out even harder than a 15, it's going to be more like an 18 on DVD, which is interesting.
The subline for the 15 ratings, they always have a little blurb, sort of a a few words, is strong bloody violence, strong language, sex references. So it's sounding very positive.
It is, in a weird way. What kind of strange world do we live in that's a positive thing? Yeah, bloody violence, man. Yeah, no film should.
It sounded like Deadpool would be an 18, like, what, 10, 15 years ago.
I expect, yeah. I mean, certainly.
Things have changed a lot over the years. I mean, what you can get away with in a 15 now, things have to be really violent to be an 18, it seems, these days.
But, I mean, there are allowed a certain number of instances of the word, you know, shit, the word fuck, you know. If they use a C word, then, you know, that's an automatic rating of, yeah. And so they play the averages, and they are very clever with the number of times they use certain words and you know, visual references. I think they are clever about what they do. And also, I think the certification board have got more lenient. You know, people's tolerance is a lot higher these days.
I like the way sidetrack is still the way the BBFC have changed over these. In the early days, they were worse censors. They'd snip bits out and say, no, we don't want you seeing that. I remember things used to bug me. They didn't like nunchucks in martial arts films. That was always a no-no. But over the years, they've changed. They seem to just watch the film and then go back to the studio and say, right, as is, that's a 15. And that's usually when the studio goes, well, if we cut out this headbutt and cut out this punch, what about, it's all right, that's a 12 now. And they go, oh, yeah, we'll put that out. Bigger audience. And then that leads into the circle of the unedited cut for Blu-ray rubbish we mentioned earlier.
Interesting fact for you, John, since we mentioned the BBFC. I applied for a job as a censor.
Really?
I really did. It was based in London, and you had to watch films all day, every day, and you know, give them a certification. You were part of the board, and I applied, and I didn't hear anything back. But
oh, a shame.
Yeah, would have been a good job. It was only 6 months, so you could only. It was like a 6 month contract. And and then after that, I guess if you did a good job, then they renewed your contract. If you didn't, then you were let go. But I was willing to do that for 6 months, watch films for a living. Would have been good.
Awesome.
Not bad pay either. Sorry, totally derailed the show once more.
Okay, well, let's stick with the Marvel theme.
Go on.
Captain America Civil War tip bit. It's had a test screening, and according to the website Birth Movies Death, they've heard from five different sources that the movie is testing through the roof. In fact, the only thing they disagree on is whether this movie is testing as well as or better than The Winter Soldier, which was apparently previously the best testing movie Marvel have had.
Interesting. I'll be honest, I mean, The Winter Soldier didn't do an awful lot for me. I've only watched it once, and you know, again, I think perhaps I should give that another go. But I don't know, that worries me slightly then, because you know, I also saw that the Civil War movie was testing through the roof. I don't know. I mean, I like the Captain America films, but they don't rate as highly as something like, I don't know, certainly not Guardians of the Galaxy or even the Avengers movies for me. They're sort of down with the Iron Mans for me. I don't know. How do you feel? Do you like them? Are you a big fan of them?
I think the first one surprised me how much I enjoyed it. Because I was like, I don't really know Captain America, but I really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
I remember we had those tickets for the Skype preview for the second one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Thanks, Skype. Absolutely loved it. Brought it pretty much as soon as it came on Blu-ray. We haven't watched it since. That's not a bad thing, though. We've got two kids. Watching films is a rare occasion, so we tend to buy the Blu-rays of films that we really like. We don't just buy them willy-nilly, so that's a good sign.
So as your purchase of choice, do you usually buy DVDs and then just the best ones you get in Blu-ray? Or
no, always Blu-ray.
Always Blu-rays.
But the thing is, because we very rarely watch stuff because of the kids, and it's a sort of a treat kind of thing, we're prepared to make that wait for the price to come down and down and down.
Right, yeah. No,
it's like, sort of for a self-brought Christmas present, I finally got the Indiana Jones collection, where it calls itself, on Blu-ray, because it's finally bottomed out at about $12.99. I thought, yeah, now's the time to buy that.
Yeah, that's a good price, yeah. Does that include all four?
That is all four films, yeah.
Do you ever feel like throwing the last one out?
No, if I did that, I'd throw out the A separate copy I already own.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that. I was watching. I don't know what it was. I was watching something on Twitter or social media, and somebody who only buys one Blu-ray a year—that's their treat. They one Blu-ray each year they buy, and wow. And they were going through the films that they'd bought, and one of them was like, you know, Avengers. One was Guardians of the Galaxy, and then their most recent purchase last year was Straight Out of Compton. I thought it was interesting that somebody, you know, would normally buy it on DVD, but then like one film a year they treat themselves to the Blu-ray, which I find bizarre. I mean, basically everything that I buy for myself, which isn't a lot, because I find that most of the films I want to watch I can stream or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
they're available online. Are you there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you just killed over.
No, sorry. I accidentally touched the microphone, sorry.
No problem. Yeah, but the films I do like to buy, the ones I do buy, which is generally all the Marvel ones, you know, and probably all the DC ones moving forward as well, I buy on Blu-ray. It's just default. I just buy on Blu-ray. I've got a HD TV and a Blu-ray player. Why wouldn't I buy on Blu-ray? But I'm
exactly.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, never really made the leap to Blu-ray. A lot of people still are quite happy with DVD. I find it interesting.
I still get that asked that question occasionally as well. It's like, oh yeah, I watch things on Blu-ray. They go, do you really notice a difference? Yes, that's why I do it. Because like, yeah. there are some people that go, you know, I've watched things in HD and I can't really see the difference. And it's like, you need an eye test.
I think when you're watching it, it doesn't really matter that much. You know, my kids, I tend to buy the stuff on DVD because, yeah, they really, it has a very limited life anyway. So I'll buy it as cheap as I can. And yeah, they really don't care. They really don't care what the quality is like.
Oh no.
And I gotta say, I mean, watching films that they watch on DVD, it doesn't bother me in any way. And the kids have sort of been watching all the Star Wars films again and again and again at the moment, and they're all on DVD. And it doesn't bother me. But yeah, I will buy the Blu-rays just out of principle, really, more than anything. Yeah, I've got this equipment. I'm going to use it. God damn it.
That's right.
Cool. Okay, totally derailed that again. Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's perfect because that leads into my Star Wars Rogue One segment.
Ooh, okay. What have you got for us?
Well, obviously it opens in December later this year, and it's about a group of rebel soldiers who are out to steal the plans for the original Death Star. Mm-hmm. Now, recently there's been rumours that some major Star Wars characters will appear, including Darth Vader, which seems kind of obvious, I suppose, considering it's about Death Star.
Logical.
And apparently a young Han Solo cameo.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure, too sure on that one. You haven't made up my mind. But a new rumour just recently, well, apparently the rumour's been around a little while, that Boba Fett will make an appearance. Mm. And this was given some more traction because of the Nuremberg Toy Fair, where Lego gave an official presentation for their link to the Star Wars franchise and what they've got coming up in the future. And under the little picture they had to represent Rogue One, there was a picture of Slave One.
Yeah. It wasn't very subtle, was it?
Not really, no.
I was like, by the way. Yeah, I saw that. It was funny. I don't know in what capacity, you know, Boba Fett would fit into the story, because there's very little information about, you know, what the story really is going to involve anyway. I'm quite intrigued by Rogue One. I think it's going to be a good watch. It's going to be different. I think it's going to feel a bit different to the rest of the Star Wars movies in many respects. I think it's going to be a bit more serious.
I'm really looking forward. I mean, apparently the first trailer will be before Civil War in the cinemas.
Mm.
Although some people have been saying maybe we'll get something, because at the time of recording, which is the 2nd of February, we've got the Super Bowl this coming Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which means lots of first looks at some of the major movies this year.
Oh, I can't wait for UK Film Nerd's Super Bowl trailer roundup. It's a tradition in my household. We all gather around the laptop and... come on, kids, grab your hot chocolate. John's about to post it. It's good.
Yeah, I'd like to. I just think it spoils it when the film companies sort of give out and post things like 2 and 3 days beforehand.
Well, what commonly happens is they put up a shorter version a few days before, And then they put the extended 12-minute trailer for the Super Bowl, didn't they?
Was it Fast? One of the Fast and Furious movies they did that for? They put up like a 1-minute trailer. Then they went on the website. It was like, oh, go here to watch like the 12-minute sizzle reel or something. It's like, bloody hell, 12 minutes?
It's crazy. Yeah.
I do know that we'll have the first trailer for Bourne 5.
Oh,
yeah, Jason Bourne series.
I do feel that's a step too far. I like the Bourne films. I even like the ones without Bourne in. And I can't remember what they're called.
Identity, Ultimatum.
No, I've got all the Bourne films, but there was one without Bourne in, wasn't there?
Oh, it had Jeremy Renner in, didn't it?
That's right, yeah. And I didn't mind that. It felt a lot different. It wasn't a Bourne film in the true sense for me.
Uh-huh.
But I quite enjoyed that as well. But yeah, Matt Damon is back as Jason Bourne, isn't he?
He is, yes.
Yeah,
might make it interesting to watch.
That would be interesting, yeah. I saw a funny quote from Matt Damon this week, I think it was, or late last week, when he was asked, whose side is he on, Batman or Superman's? And he said, are you kidding? If I go home and say anything but Batman, I'd be killed. So, Siri has just...
Thanks, Siri.
It says, hey, Siri, kidding, I don't have... Oh, what the fuck is going on? Why is Siri...
You're a regular comedian, Will.
You're a regular comedian, Will. I'm sorry about that. That was an impromptu interruption by Siri there. I do apologise. Let me turn that bitch off. Sorry, I really didn't plan that. I don't know how that happened. There we go. Never mind. Sorry about that.
Fine.
But yes, so Matt Damon, obviously, yeah, it makes sense. He's on Batman's side in Batman v Superman. Have you pre-ordered your copy of Star Wars The Force Awakens, John?
No.
You haven't? I'm surprised to hear that.
I don't know, because originally Amazon did list the 3D version, but that listing seems to have vanished.
Oh, I see.
I was prepared to wait because, as you know, I just wait till the price drops a bit.
even for Star Wars? The Force Awakens?
Yeah, probably. But although I did get a Amazon voucher off my sister for Christmas of £20, so I think I know where that's going to be spent on.
Yeah, good point.
And interestingly enough, another little tip I had there for Star Wars, I don't know if you saw this, there's no official release date yet for the Blu-ray, but Amazon US and Amazon Canada, who actually left this possible mistake online a bit longer, updated their webpage to say it had a release date of April the 5th.
Wow, okay.
But then they quickly took that back off again.
That does seem like it would be a bit soon, doesn't it? But I don't know.
If it's going to be out, I was just thinking about this morning, actually. I thought, hang on, if it's going to be April the 5th, then we'd already have the announcement that, you know, only a month away.
Mm.
Disney would have said something already, I would have thought.
Yeah, you'd think so.
It's a bit short notice.
I don't know. I mean, I have put my pre-order in for the Blu-ray. Like literally the day it went up for pre-order, I think, which is pretty much the day after we saw it at the cinema. But yeah, so it'd be nice when that arrives. It'd be like, oh, I forgot about that, and there it is.
Amazon seem to put things up in the moment the project's announced these days, don't they? It seems like.
Yeah, pretty much.
If they know a film exists, they'll take a pre-order for it.
Yeah. We've got release date, or suspected release date for Star Wars Episode 8 as well, haven't we?
Oh, yes, it's been moved back several months.
They've really dropped the ball on that one. and I'll tell you why. Because they could have legitimately released Star Wars Episode 8 on the 26th of May 2017, exactly 40 years to the day after Star Wars Episode 4 came out.
Yeah,
and that would have been a great birthday present for me.
I don't think they would have had time to get it. I don't know. Was it a year and?
What?
They just start principal photography in about a week's time, I think.
What the fuck have they been doing since they finished 7? Some people have seen that film like 10 times. That's
I know the as we said before, people putting up pictures on Twitter or whatever, like, you know, like 10 cinema tickets all in a row, and it's like, oh, I think I'll go see it again. It's like, how much free time do you have?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but okay, well, here we are. I'm a bit disappointed it's gone back to December, but I don't mind. The OCD in me kind of likes the fact that it's going to be the same time every year, yeah, December. I don't mind that too much.
It's not like we're missing out on Star Wars. We've got Rogue One at the end of this year to look forward to.
Exactly. There's plenty to look forward to. Yeah. Not to worry. What's next then, John?
Something that just caught my eye, but I don't really care / makes me go, huh? Apparently they've remade Cabin Fever, which was a cult horror film from 2002, directed by Eli Roth, who's executively producing this new remake. It sounds like they're not thinking much of it because it's coming out as a limited release and on demand the same day.
Okay.
And apparently they used exactly the same script. They just decided to make it again.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just like,
I don't think I saw Cabin Fever.
No, I mean, it says the original deals with a group of horny teens holidaying in a log cabin when a deadly virus causes havoc, leading to some gruesome bloody kills.
Yeah, now I know why I didn't watch it.
That was the reason right there.
Sounds fucking awful. Firstly, cabin, teens, no. just, you need old Bruce Campbell to turn up. Hey. Sort that party out.
Have you watched any of Ash Evil Dead, the series?
Do you honestly think I was going to spend any time watching
that? No, of course not. You don't like it.
not a fan. Not a horror fan. Not an Evil Dead fan, really. So, no. And I haven't watched it. But you're enjoying it, I understand.
Yes, I finally, the season finished out recently, and it's just been so much fun all the way through.
Mm.
And I'm really, really surprised that basically cable channels in America seem to have... If it's a paid cable channel, there doesn't seem to be any form of censorship. Because the amount of blood and violence in that show is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's always cutting people in half with chainsaws and there's blood spraying everywhere. And it's like, this is fantastic.
Kind of what you'd expect, isn't it?
Yes.
There are a few TV programs making their way back onto screens or coming onto screens at the moment. We've got Agent Carter is back this week, I think, or... Yeah, around this time. The Flash is continuing season two. I'm back after after a mid-season break, and same with Gotham. Rumors of Fish Mooney returning at the end of season two of Gotham, and X-Files is back in the States.
Currently back up and running, isn't it?
Very soon to be back in the UK as well, from early February on Channel 5. Which puts me off a little bit because I don't particularly enjoy Channel 5's output much, but I'll give it a watch when it's on TV. I'm not rushing to acquire this one in any other way because I just can't keep up with the TV at the minute. There's so much.
I know.
I just can't. I'm way behind a Gotham, way, way behind on The Flash. I just don't have a chance of watching everything that's on. But I'm intending to do some binge watching on the week that my wife's away, so I should catch up a few things then, and delve into the X-Files as well.
Apparently, much like Firefly, it turns out Fox are showing these episodes of the X-Files in the wrong order.
Oh, really?
Although it turns out as you continue reading the news that apparently Chris Carter helped them reorganize it because. Apparently something didn't flow properly from episode one of the first few episodes. They've changed some of them around.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to worry about the arc too much or something about that. It's like, oh, okay. when you first hear that, they go, oh, yeah, we show number one, then we'll show number, I don't know, four. And then you go, oh, God, have you not learned anything? This is why Serenity failed. Firefly.
I'm not going to lose too much sleep over it, I'll be honest.
I'm not sure if I want to watch them or not, actually.
Really?
I don't know.
What doubt do you have?
Partly the amount of other stuff I've got to watch TV-wise.
Yeah, I suppose.
And also, I watched the first two seasons. I didn't really watch any more after that, so I'm not sure.
I made it quite a way in, but there are 9 seasons, I think.
Mm.
And they are all available on Amazon Prime at the moment. And I think I probably got to about 4 or 5, and then... Yeah, I grew up and had a life, and I think I went to uni, and I just didn't have time to watch it. And it was always on. It was always on satellite TV. Here, it was on Sky One first, wasn't it?
Yeah, then was it the BBC, BBC Two?
Possibly, but a long, long time after.
Oh yeah.
So my parents had and have satellite TV, have Sky, so we were always able to. I was always able to keep up with it when I was living at home. But as soon as I moved away, I didn't have access to it, and I couldn't, you know, I didn't keep up, and so I just stopped watching. But it, I think it did sort of lose its way fairly quickly. I don't know whether it found its way again. It must have been doing something right to last 9 seasons, but I kind of felt it lost its way a little bit. But yeah. So at this point, John, I'm going to jump in with a regular feature that we didn't do last time round.
regular.
But generally fairly regular. Last time was, you know, half the show was Star Wars, so the format went a little bit out the window. Not that we have much of a format, but you know, what format we have. And I'm going to do who we haven't interviewed this month.
Oh, no.
There's been a few, but I'm only going to focus on one. I don't know, this might not translate very well internationally, but in the UK, and certainly anyone that has kids of a certain age, will be familiar with Horrible Histories.
Oh, no, yeah.
Are you familiar with Horrible Histories?
I love Horrible Histories. It's fantastic.
It's a great show aimed at kids, but shows a very funny and slightly gruesome look at history throughout the ages. So, you know, the Victorians, all the different ages. Yeah, obviously, I'm not that keen a fan because I don't know any of it. But my daughter absolutely adores, my eldest daughter absolutely adores it. She's read all the books. She loves it. And
I just want to mention the musical parodies are excellent.
They are.
For those of you who don't know, they take a fairly modern sort of pop song or something, and then completely turn that song into about a historical figure.
Mm. It's a bit like Monty Python for kids in a way.
That's a pretty good description actually.
But really, really well done. It is brilliant. And now the creators of Horrible Histories made a film
called Bill,
which I haven't seen, but my wife and daughters have seen. And,
all right.
And it thoroughly enjoyed it. They went to the cinema just before Christmas, I think, to go all and right. see it. We were offered the chance to interview pretty much everyone. So writer and actor Lawrence Rickard, who plays the film, basically. So we should come back to the film. It's revolved around... I'll read the synopsis. It's from the comedy genius who starred in Horrible Histories comes a critically acclaimed film that follows the rise of the world's most famous playwright, William Shakespeare, and as you've never seen him before. It was released theatrically across the UK on over 300 screens in September 2015 and was reviewed positively all round. So it was getting a home release, and to go with that, we were offered the opportunity to interview the stars of the film. Which obviously we didn't. So that's who we haven't interviewed this month.
That's probably at work anyway.
Again, you know, I have to qualify. It's like if this was our full-time job, we'd be all over it. But
because they also another one. They also make the excellent Yonderland that's on Sky One.
There we are. tying into a previous who we didn't interview this month, you may recall that we had the opportunity to
come on, carry on
to interview. I can't remember her first name now.
I don't know what's worse now, that or the Pete Doctor.
Pete Doctor. We got some nice footage to preview or to put up on our YouTube channel from that. Some of the bonus material from the DVD release of Inside Out. Which is exclusive to us, and didn't get a copyright claim because it was authorized, which is amazing. Usually everything I upload to YouTube gets taken down before I've even uploaded it. So that's why I gave up on the movie previews. So fuck it. Yeah, if you really are not interested in what films we think are the best this month, then fuck you. A little while ago, I mentioned we could have interviewed, I can't remember her first name, but it was someone, Kirilenko.
Oh, yes, I remember you mentioning that, yeah.
From the film, I can't remember what the film's called now. I won a copy of that film, and I just want to give a shout out to, I think it's at What About the Twinkie, who run a competition, and I won a copy of.
Oh, you won! Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
I won that copy of the film. So I'm pleased. I think it begins with M. I can't remember, or D.
Was it Momentum?
No, it wasn't Momentum.
No.
Oh, yeah, it was Momentum. Yeah, it was.
Olga, that's her name.
Olga, yeah, we call her Olga, that's right.
Yeah. Let's see where she... I'm not looking into her Oofy database, I'm not. Olga Kurylenko.
That's the one, yeah.
Known for Quantum of Solace, Oblivion, Hitman, The Water Diviner.
Yeah.
And Will's copy of Momentum.
Yeah, which I haven't received yet, but I'm sure it was on its way.
Cool.
There was at least one other interview in the last month that we weren't able to do, but I can't find it.
Oh, okay. Kind of been that good, he says.
Yeah, probably.
Why are you going to announce someone else that I would have liked to have spoken to?
Someone I haven't heard of before. I was like, Arnold Schwartz or something. I'll interview you. Sorry, terrible accent there. Joe, shall we move on to something more structured?
Get to the chopper! Taron Egerton has been talking about his role of Eggsy for the Kingsman 2 follow-up.
Ah, I saw that he'd gone for a suit fitting.
Ah, I didn't see that.
On the social medias.
On the social medias. I didn't see that one, because he's been at the Sundance Film Festival with Hugh Jackman promoting that Eddie the Eagle film.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually could be quite funny.
It does, but it's such a bizarre thing to make a film about.
I know.
How is that going to travel internationally?
He does look the part with the glasses, though, I must admit.
Well, he does, and I'll be honest, I didn't realise it was him in that film. I haven't seen Kingsman.
You're not seeing it. It is very good. Me and the missus really enjoyed it.
My wife and I have come close to watching it twice, and then opted for a Simon Pegg rom-com instead.
All right.
For some reason. I am familiar with him. He was in a video for the group Lazy Habits, who I enjoy.
Ah.
He's friends with that band and hip-hop group. UK hip hop group, and he's in their video. But sorry, do carry on. Kingsman 2.
That's okay. Yeah, he just said, with Kingsman, we're shooting in the summer at present. There's a script. It's brilliant. Obviously, there's only so much I can say, but what I can say is that we shot the first one all in the UK. That won't be the case for the next one. It's far more international story. We're going to some incredible places, and we have a villain to rival Samuel L. Jackson. This new one is so brilliantly written. I wish I could play it. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
So it all sounds good. Mark Miller, who wrote the original graphic novel version of Kingsman, obviously he's read the script. He loves it. He says he didn't have any part in writing the story, but he's still very happy because it's his creation, so he still receives a paycheck.
He's nothing if not honest. Yeah.
Yes.
Got to give him that. I do follow him on Twitter, and I find him a little bit irritating, but yeah, fair play. Yeah, I'd be pleased. good. What's next?
Apparently they're still talking about Top Gun 2.
Why?
I don't know, but it's either on the Twits or the Instagrams. Jerry Bruckheimer posted a picture of him and a grinning Tom Cruise, and apparently they spent the weekend in New Orleans recently talking about Top Gun 2. Allegedly it's a film that deals with pilots being rendered obsolete thanks to the rise of unmanned drones. Which doesn't really sound Top Gun-y. I mean, that sounds like it could be any kind of...
Oh, it'll be Maverick outgunning a drone pilot, won't it? Which I think has already been done. Didn't they make that film? Was it Stealth?
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Which I'm sure is awful, but...
it is, yeah.
Sounds like that kind of premise. I don't think the world needs Top Gun 2, if I'm honest, but that probably won't stop them making it.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's just sparked a memory in my head of something I was going to say. I've just remembered it now. Are they going to make a movie of Little House on the Prairie?
Of all the things that are unnecessary in the world.
You sort of read the headlines and you go, really?
What will they make it dark and gritty? John Boy kept in a basement.
Oh, God, we end up having the same conversation every time we mention these things. It's just, stop it.
We should have a pre-recorded, like, nope.
Yeah.
Just, nope.
Nope, moving on.
Yeah, terrible idea.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is still interested in doing another Conan.
Is he?
He is. He was speaking to a website called The Arnold Fans, where apparently... it was going to be called The Legend of Conan, but they've ditched that. And the actual quote from... I was so tempted to do an impression, but I won't. It'd be awful. He said, the Conan the Conqueror, where I'm sitting on the throne for years and years, decades, and all of a sudden the time comes when they want to overthrow me. So that story will be told, and that movie will be done. Yes, as a matter of fact, the movie has been written, and we are now looking for directors. So this is a serious drive now for Conan. So he sounds like he's pretty eager to do another one of those.
The Conan Chronicles.
I've never actually watched a Conan film, to be honest.
Have you never watched one?
I've never watched one, no. Is there two already?
Yeah, there are two. Is it Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer or something like that?
Is Red Sonja connected? Was that a spin-off or something?
It was a spin-off, yeah. Ah. Was that Bridget Nielsen?
I think so, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I have seen a Conan film, because believe it or not, my dad is a huge Schwarzenegger fan. Mm. And, he watched it, and there was a scene with, Arnie Conan punching a horse. which he enjoyed immensely. Yeah, he's a man of very limited capabilities. I don't remember loving or hating it. I watched it and it was like, yeah, I watched that. So yeah, that's done. Yeah, not that interested.
Did I mention Rush Hour's coming to TV last time?
I think you might have, but I don't know if we talked a lot about it.
No, it's just I bring it up because that's heading to CBS in the States, and it turns out CBS has also ordered a pilot for a series based off the film Training Day. Don't you remember that one?
Oh, yes, I do. I enjoyed that in a kind of... It was quite edgy and uncomfortable watching kind of way.
It was Denzel Washington, apparently won an Oscar for his role in that film.
Well, he's very good in it, but I didn't enjoy his... I didn't enjoy his character. I enjoyed the film. All right. I did find it quite uncomfortable viewing. And Ethan Hawke in that as well, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Good
apparently,
film.
Was it Denzel Washington is an off-the-books kind of narcotics detective and Ethan Hawke was his rookie partner?
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, yeah, they bring the series... that's to modern times, isn't it? Because the film was out in 2001. The story says it will take place 15 years after the film, which basically means today. Mm. And the CBS version will include a racial swap, so... it says an idealistic young African-American police officer is appointed to an elite squad of the LAPD where he's partnered with a seasoned, morally ambiguous Caucasian detective.
Well, that's more politically correct, isn't it? More socially aware. Avoiding having the black character perceived in a bad way. Just switch it around. That makes perfect sense. I not that it bothers me that, fine. Do the racial swap, whatever, it doesn't matter. But it's just another case of like what could we take that was a decent film and fit onto TV, because that's what's popular at the moment.
It's trending. I mean, literally just before we started recording this evening, it's sort of The Exorcist is being made into a TV show as well.
I mean, what won't they make into a TV show, a series? I mean, there's any number. You could have Running Man, the TV series. You could have, I don't know, you could have
every episode would be a new arena for him to fight through.
Yeah, and you could have James Bond, the TV series. I'm sure someone's thinking about that somewhere.
it's the longest running franchise or something, isn't it, movie wise surely
it is. Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I think it gets away with it because no one gives it an actual number. It's not like, here's James Bond 24.
It's true. It's true. And fair play for doing that. And it has adapted and evolved over the years as a franchise. It's not at its peak, I don't think. But they've done a good job of reviving it. It went downhill quite badly during the old Pierce Brosnan days and Timothy Dalton days. Wasn't great.
The Pierce Brosnan days started out well, I thought. I mean, you got GoldenEye and The Day After Tomorrow, I really enjoyed.
I think GoldenEye gets a lot more credit than it deserves, personally, but I don't know. Like I say, I'm not a fan of James Bond. I never really have been.
Someone says GoldenEye to me, I think of the N64 game.
Well, exactly. The game was far better than... that is a classic game. And many hours lost. For me, the James Bond, the one thing I think of is the Lotus Esprit. That was a submarine.
Oh, yeah.
I love that car. And I always wanted a Lotus Esprit, even though they're incredibly unreliable. if money was no object, I'd I'd have a Lotus Esprit for fun. To look at mostly, I think. I wonder what are the best movie cars, Yeah, what do you think? Maybe we should have a look at that sometime. Best movie cars. Batmobile's got to be up there.
Oh, definitely. DeLorean.
Yeah. Interesting. I liked your article on the iHeartNerd.com about the...
going back in... Well, yeah, it's all had permission to actually start making... Well, say... I think I mentioned in the article, they say they want to make new cars. He's got enough spare parts to make 300 cars or something. So they're not exactly brand new.
No, but yeah, they... Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
$100,000 each, you reckons?
That's a big price tag.
It's just a bit.
It's out of my league.
It's either that. Well, I think I said, I must say in the article, if you've got a DeLorean, like we all have, just sitting outside, I think about somewhere between 40,000 and 50,000, the same company will actually strip them right back down and rebuild them up again.
Mm. It's a good business to be into. Anyway, yeah.
Sidetracking, movie vehicles.
Moving on. Oh, sorry, yeah, movie vehicle. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess...
Ecto-1.
Yep.
Because my birthday present Lego toy is sitting on the shelf on the side of the room.
So that was very cool. That was very cool, actually. I did enjoy that. What should we go on to now, John? What have you got? How many more bits have we got left?
That's it. We've reached the end of my printed paper professional notes.
Oh, my God. That's pretty much bang on an hour as well. That's quite incredible. Wow, perfect timing. I don't know what to say.
I'd like to say hello to Jeffy Jeff.
He's still
listening.
Absolutely, he's still out there. He went radio silent for a long time, and he tweeted us the other day. What did he say? He's like,
he said he still downloads every podcast and listens to us.
Oh, isn't he nice?
I genuinely thought that our single digit listening numbers had gone down by one permanently. I thought he's gone.
No, I mean, if you go onto our hosting site and you can actually see how many listens each show gets. And I mean, you know, we're not big numbers, but it's close to 100 and sometimes over 100 plays per episode, which isn't too bad, I don't think.
I was taking it from the Facebook stats, as in. It says how many people the story's reached.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm not really sure what that means.
I wouldn't. It's just how many people have seen that post on Facebook. Not necessarily clicked on it, just seen it.
No, because the last movie podcast was like 32 or something. My Star Wars Restoration story was on 119, which made me feel quite happy.
Yeah.
And then I got to your last... music mixtape you released,
yeah,
which apparently had reached 419 people.
it gets a bit of traction because a lot of, like, the people that are on it, you know, retweet it, and then every one of their followers sees it, and then MC Jeffy Jeff, what did he say? So the Unheard Nerd and UK Film Nerd have not commented in a long time, but guys, I still download every episode. So Jeffy Jeff, thanks, man, we love you. And who the other guy we should mention, what's his name? Pizza.
Unused Pizza. Hi, Unused Pizza. How are you doing?
We should give him a shout out as well. Yeah.
He's a dear. What's his name? Bob Gnat?
Oh, God. I hope he listens to the show. Oh, he's the best. Oh. Anyone that wants to know what Bob's about, go and check out John's DeLorean piece on theunheardnerd.com. And read the comments.
Read the novel.
The comment. Someone pointed out to me, the comment is longer than the post. It's amazing. I feel like we really got told off and praised all at the same time. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like an abused animal. You get treated really well and then put into a dog fight. I don't know what we did to deserve that, but
I need to set it up so I get emailed when comments happen. I think I must have not ticked an option somewhere.
The only reason I get is I have the WordPress app on my phone.
And
every time a new comment comes in, I get a little notification that somebody, because I have to moderate them. If there's anything inappropriate, it automatically flags up as on hold, and I have to either authorize it or not. And you get like some guy who's left his email address so that somebody can send him something. I'm like, mate, perhaps you shouldn't do that. And just hide that comment. So, I mean, that's the reason why. I think we should probably end the show at this point. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing Deadpool at the cinema in a couple of weeks' time. And I shall report back on that. And I'm sure I'll put a review on the website. Are you going to go and see that?
I'd like to.
You'd like to? Is it one? Is it the one one Mrs. Wife would like to see?
No, it's too violent for her.
Okay, well, perhaps we could have a date. So that is Betamax and Laserdisc for this month, the monthly TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. Our second show of the year. We are on track.
We're doing well.
John, pleasure as always. Until next time, bye-bye.
Hey, it is.
TheUnheardNerd.com.